For the past 7 years, I had been a servant of evil in a life fueled by darkness. I lived on the street in squat houses or abandoned buildings. I begged for change and spent every waking hour in a drunken stupor or drug-induced euphoria. A typical day would include some of the following: waking up with nausea and a weak body that wants another fix to get well or feel normal. Then I step over my fellow gutter punk junkie friends to start my day. I head out to the nearest store to spare change America's taxpayers or rob a daydreamer. I cop some dope, poke my vein with a rusty, jagged syringe, and contract hepatitis. I nod out, throw up on myself, look for a fight, drink some cheap wine instead, go to a show, and end up running from the cops, and then find a nice alley to lay down my smelly head. I dream of heroin swirls and wake up to go find that dream. I'd rob some kid or sleep with a dirtbag and try to rob him too, only to get raped and bloody. The cycle never stopped. Sure, every now and again, I would go home to my family and manipulate them for a place to stay, or I'd go to rehab and dry out, only to relapse worse than the previous time. I would wreck a car, get in a fight, or steal, ending up thrown in jail where I usually stayed sober. But I would always celebrate my release by doing more dope than I was doing before I got locked up. I hurt my family. I deserted everyone who cared about my well-being. I shunned God, even cursed his name. I felt that I couldn't do anything right. The only things that I thought that I was good at was being hardcore, selling myself, and robbing people I didn't like, even those who wanted to help me. One night, I tried to check out. I wanted to end this life and begin the next life in heaven. My thinking was so warped, so twisted, that I thought I could ignore God and expect to go to paradise. I took an overdose of around 300 pills and sliced both wrists. But I woke up, and for that, I was very angry. Another thing to add to my list of failures, I thought. I was hopeless, desperate, confused, and I hated the world, furiously. I wanted everyone to suffer the way I was suffering, because nothing mattered anymore. I hated myself. Life was pointless and agonizing every single day. I was sick of the fight, so I continued a slow suicide. I was slowly killing myself and living fast and dangerously. I was so angry when I got incarcerated. The officers took all of my clothes and gave me a Velcro suit and sleeping bag. I was in solitary confinement, 24-hour lockdown, for over a month. I was allowed 2 showers a week and was not allowed anything in my cell but my suit and my sleeping bag. No tissue, no books, just me and my bad attitude. When I finally decided to act decent and go to general population, I continued destructive patterns. I did jailhouse hustles and got romantically involved with another female. I drank homemade wine and got into pointless fights. I had comforts like canteen, visits, mail, and phone calls, but I couldn't find happiness. Therapy, medication, family, and shallow dreams just weren't enough. There was a void in my heart, a black hole that I couldn't seem to fill, but I didn't know a solution. I was transferred to federal pretrial holding in New York, far from home. Psychiatric testing was ordered, but the best doctors and popular medicine just didn't seem to help. I began attending Sunday church services, started reading my Bible, and praying to God. But I was only praying for strength, understanding, love, and comfort amidst the madness of prison life. After the psychiatric evaluation was finished, I was flown back to Virginia with the U.S. Marshals. I continued attending Bible study and praying. I also continued my homosexual relationship and illegal activity, and I wondered why I wasn't content. I was so immersed in my flesh desires of money and pleasure. I decided that I needed to be baptized. I wanted to start over and dedicate my life to the Lord. I knew that I must surrender my whole self into His care if I wanted to be happy and free. So on January 28, 2010, right there in jail, I proclaimed my commitment and faith in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by being baptized. For me, this is how it happened. I was immersed in the water, a violent, sexually confused, mentally ill, lost junkie, and I came up with a fresh identity, beloved, beautiful daughter of the Most High God. I knew that day, without a doubt, that the Holy Spirit, most perfect and pure, was alive inside of me, and I immediately began to walk in a progressive path of righteousness. Not without stumbling, but I started walking. The beautiful woman that I thought I was in love with, the foul language that I used so naturally, coarse jokes, and gossip were replaced with lots of babbling about the new man in my life, Jesus Christ. I knew I had fallen in love for the first time. He had my heart at hello, so to speak. I was ridiculed, was no longer popular, and I was called a hypocrite because everyone knew the things that I had done, the crude person that I was. But I knew that I was a new creation in Christ, and my old self was dead and gone. I was born again, and I was forgiven. I wanted to live the way that makes God smile. He forgave my horrible choices and countless mistakes, and He gave me another chance. He gave me a chance to be happy and to have purpose. I immersed myself in God's Word, prayed continually, fasted unto the Lord, and had fellowship with other believers. The light of joy that I had only heard about began to flicker more and more, and I began to not only accept that light, but I began chasing it. My interests shift from temporary, worldly goals to eternal purposes. I learned to trust my Heavenly Father and cooperate with His will for my life. This process has taken over a year, and I know it's only the tip of the iceberg. At times, I find myself questioning my circumstances or certain situations, but I've learned to trust His plan for me. I remind myself that all things are working towards my ultimate good because I love Jesus, and I know that He loves me too. I have the load of worry lifted, for I know that His plans are absolutely perfect. I know that God has my best interest at heart, even when it comes in the form of tough love. I cast all of my cares upon Him daily, as He tells me to, because He cares for me and He doesn't want me to carry it. The Lord has promised good to me, and He has given me even more than I could ever hope for. He has helped me to discover my new identity in God's family, and He has given me a reason to live. I know that my life has meaning and purpose. I know that I am alive to tell others who may feel lost and hopeless that they can find comfort, hope, and forgiveness through God. He became a man, and His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus saved me from drug addiction, sexual immorality, mental illness, and so many other pollutants in my life. But He didn't leave me empty. He replaced those things with love and pure, undefiled happiness. When the world and everything else failed me, Jesus healed my emotional wounds and carried me to where I am today, free. He is holding my heart and holding my hand on this journey called Earth, and He is the most faithful, trustworthy, and loyal best friend that I could ever hope or pray for.
Wow. That's quite a story. Now, I don't have all the chronology right, but you originally, Keith Farmer met you on the street someplace, and he saw you, and he saw a young lady in trouble, and he just wanted to meet you. Do you remember when that happened? When he walked up to you?
I remember that, yeah. It was in 2009.
In 2009.
Yeah.
And I believe he took a picture of you and told you that he wanted to have that so that they could be praying for you.
Right.
What did you think? This guy walking up to you on the street and wanting, I want to pray for you, want your picture.
Well, I spent my days, you know, on a street corner asking for money, begging for change. I was on drugs so bad, and he passed by, and I stopped him asking for change, and gave him some lie about me being in town for a tattoo convention. So he started asking about my tattoos that you can see right now, and that got us talking about faith. And he just kept talking and was inviting me to this place called Straight Street, and I'm, you know, thinking, dude, what are you talking about, you know? And I really wasn't wanting to hear anything he had to say. Holy Spirit was working, and the walls of my heart were just up, and I wasn't hearing him. But he was trying to reach out to me right where I was.
And then you next met him. Where? Because I remember, I think from his story, it surprised him.
It was several years later, about 2.5 years later, actually, when I was incarcerated on federal charges. My case was in the papers, and he read about me in the newspaper, and he came to visit me right in the jail, and I hadn't seen him for years, but I'd listened to him on Spirit FM, and I had heard about Straight Street, and I knew his name, Keith Farmer, because I had listened to him on Bill Scott's program, Sound of Light. And when he came in, I knew exactly who he was. And he had told me that he had been looking for me for years, and they had been praying for me for years, and that they loved me and just wanted to get to know me and my family.
Wow. And so when you went into prison, that's when you started, you were in jail first, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Locally, and then
right.
Went to prison. That's when you started pursuing God, started listening to the radio?
Yeah. I was just in a really dark place in the jail. There was no windows. I had no options to get out of my pod, and it was just chaotic all the time, and I felt hopeless. I was looking at a lot of time, and, you know, I was just flipping through my stations, and I actually wrote something about that, too, about how I just flipped through stations, and I started listening into this hard, fast music, and it was real good, you know, but I was listening to the words, and it was just drawing me higher, you know, and I just kept listening to the station. It was Spirit FM, and I didn't even know it was a Christian station, but it was Sound of Light, Bill Scott's program. Mm-hmm. And it had really good music that I really dug, and that was my style, you know. And I always tell people, you can't put God in a box. He works through those avenues, and that's how he drew himself to me, is through that type of music. And that's how I came to know him, is through Spirit FM and through the radio ministry. I had no one to minister to me in that pod, in that jail. I had nobody to witness to me. I didn't have any friends that knew the Lord, but he reached me through the radio ministry of Spirit FM and drew himself to me.
You told me one time, just a few weeks ago, you said, people have no idea how awful it is in prison. She said, it's just indescribable. But I could put on the headphones and I could listen, and God would take me away. I could escape, and God would bring peace into my life.
Absolutely. I mean, it was just chaotic. It was very dark. You know, when I started listening, it was winter. It was cold, you know, no heat. And my soul was cold, and I had no hope. But I would put on my headphones, and I was in a different world. You know, the music spoke to my heart and soothed me, and it was just a melody that, you know, strummed the strings of my heart, and I could just feel the love of God, and that's how I came to know him, you know.
And you're released now, mostly.
Mostly, right.
you're still being watched closely, shall we say, right?
Yeah, I got a couple little hang-ups.
Oh,
I'm blessed. No worries.
And but you're out, and you're pursuing your relationship with the Lord. In fact, you spoke in a church Sunday morning.
Yeah, yesterday morning I spoke at Lakeside Baptist in Salem, Virginia. And just so blessed by that. You know, I met a lot of really awesome people and got some awesome support. And I just see how it doesn't matter. You know, I was just saying yesterday, I was wondering, what am I going to say? I'm covered in tattoos. I'm covered in scars. And, you know, it's not me. I am a new creation in Christ. And I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer me who lives, but he lives in me. And he's going to use that. I'm his child, and he wants to use my story right where I'm at. He doesn't want me to change who I am. He loves me as I am, and he wants to use that for his glory, because it's all him. It's not me, and it's not my story. It's his story, and he did it all. It's not me.
The theme for our Share-a-thon, the fundraiser here, has been moment by moment, because we hear so many stories of how God intersects with people with a song, with a word, at their moment of need, which is a moment of receptiveness. And so we've been talking about that moment by moment, and asking people to support so that we can be there. Not asking for support to keep the doors open so much as it is asking for support to be able to touch lives and be that conduit through which the Lord uses to rescue people, to be part of the rescue, to be the encouragement, like it was for you. And I'll tell you, that just encourages us so much to know that God used the things we're doing in here, pushing buttons and doing schedules and whatever we do. And at the other end of that radio wave is a little girl. You're little. You're a tiny little.
And she's young, too.
Young. Yep. How old are you,
Brittany? I'm 23 now.
23?
Yep.
That God would use that, all everything going on, to reach into your heart and encourage you and share his love with you, to where you could come out and radiate the way you do now, the love of Christ. And we're proud of him, and we're proud of you, and so glad you could come over and hang with us today.
It's my pleasure. I'm so blessed and happy and so stoked to be here. Blessed.
Okay. Well, tell you what we'd like to do is, if you don't mind, maybe take some phone calls from people. We'll show you
Absolutely.
How to answer the phone and take their money. Legally.
Legally. Hey. We're on air here.
Okay. You can, this is a much different process.
We give you permission.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's not the same as standing on the corner.
Yeah, that's what they told me before.
Hustling. Okay. All right. And this is the glorified version of what you did on the street.
Right.
Okay. And take some calls and talk with some people. And then maybe come back in later and share a little more as God gives you insights. And maybe you can encourage people to participate.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be fun? Well, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
That's what God does.
Mm-hmm. Through Christian radio, through Spirit FM, this is just one story. An impactful story of how one life, God used people, Straight Street, Keith Farmer, Spirit FM.
Well, I remember Keith told me, he did not think you'd ever recognize him. And when you called him by name, it just shocked him. How did you know me? And he was able to arrange, I think a couple of years ago, Bill and Janet Scott actually came to visit you.
They did.
While you were in prison, when they were here for one of our fundraisers. Mm-hmm. See, Bill's been coming here for like 16 years.
And it was his program.
He's like family, yeah.
It was his program that you listened to on Saturday night all the time.
Right.
So that
yeah.
was the connection yeah. there. And yeah. the music so he played.
True. Thanks for sharing. Hang out for a while. We got good lunch coming, too.